What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode, we're going to be breaking down Will Dawkins' press conference. Dawkins spoke to the media this morning, Wednesday morning, ahead of training camp, which begins in 5 days on Monday, September 29th. I'm recording this on the 24th, so hopefully you will see it and or listen to it then, but I was in attendance for the press conference. I just kind of merely followed along, like I'm sure most of you guys did on Twitter. And I'm going to try to encapsulate it all into one episode, make sure that if you did miss it, you can kind of come here and get a glimpse of what Will said, some overarching themes, some injury updates as well on Bilal and Sarr, and kind of get into that. I also want to talk about the jersey release because I recorded a pod Monday morning before the actual release. So we were just kind of speculating it. Then I want to kind of talk and get my thoughts on the jerseys. And then also Jordan Poole, Pelicans had a little bit of an early media day and he made some comments, backhanded, some might say, about the Wizards, and kind of want to get my thoughts on that as well from Poole. So diving right into the episode, I kind of want to talk about the press conference that Dawkins gave. It's kind of similar to a lot of his other press conferences. You know, he typically is very prepared for these. He really obviously knows what he wants to say. He's well-spoken, and that's something that I do appreciate, obviously, in the GM. Has his talking points, you know, knows the roster through and through, and it seems like he's pretty engaged in the development process of every single player on this team. If you ask Dawkins, you know, what's Tristan Vukcevic doing on the court, off the court to get better, I'm sure he could, you know, give you a full 5-minute breakdown of that. So that's something that I've kind of taken from these press conferences. But one of the things, obviously, that he said today is that the Wizards are still in the early phases of this rebuild. They're still out here trying to find pieces that fit, develop talent. And so what that kind of signals to me is what most fans expected. This is not a year where they're going to try to take a leap in terms of winning and contending. This is another year of development. In that early phase, I think this is probably that last year of the early phase, 3 years, which is a long time. But I think that phase is basically accumulate talent and picks and future assets, get cap space, and then develop said talent, develop your draft picks. And so that's kind of this early phase. And that phase, winning isn't paramount, right? You know this if you're a Wizards fan. They've won, 33 games in their last 164? Like, that's bad. But in the grand scheme of things, it's what they're trying to do. So I think you'll see similar things this year than you did the last couple of years in terms of their philosophy, developing talent, and that sort of thing. I do think this roster is the best they've had of this early phase. I think the development of the players is farther along, obviously, than it has been in previous years. But Dawkins kind of reiterated, like, hey, let's hold our horses on any type of major expectations here. We're just hoping to get better as a team, as a young team, compete on and off the court, in practice, in games, and kind of just improve gradually. And the wins and losses will fall as they may. There's not much expectation there. So that was something that kind of stuck early on from that presser, was kind of his thoughts on the rebuild and the phase that they're at. He also talked a lot about competition, which I liked. He said, you know, a lot of training camp is going to be, and even the season is kind of feeling out who earns the minutes. He said, this is a quote that Chase Hughes tweeted out. Dawkins said, quote, last year a lot was given and not earned, and this year that won't be the case. Iron sharpens iron. I like that. You know, I really do. I like the competition because if you listen to my last pod, on Monday, I talked about the competition between the wings. You know, there's a lot of depth there. You got, obviously, guys like Middleton and Keyshawn George and Bilal Coulibaly, your starting caliber wings. And then you have guys like Cam Whitmore. You have Corey Kispert. You just drafted Will Riley. You know, you have a lot of guys there that can play and that have potential of being really good players. And it's how do you find the right rotation, the right guys to play early? And it seems like it's, you know, we're not just going to give minutes to Will Riley early on because he was our most recent draft pick. Like, we're going to make sure that he earns those minutes. Cam Whitmore, a new guy coming in. Keyshawn George, drafted by the team last year. Everyone's going to have to compete for minutes. That's how it should be. You know, especially if you're like Dawkins and Winger and you preach building a winning culture, winning habits. Those are things that winning cultures have. It's the competitiveness, the compete in every day in practice. in the weight room, in training camp, in games to earn those minutes. It shouldn't be just handed out to you. That's what a lot of people's gripe was. If Bilal Coulibaly, he's injured now, but if he was going to just start early on, it was like, hey, like if you watch them at the end of the season before Bilal got hurt between him and Keyshawn George, you watch George dominate AmeriCup, you watch Coulibaly struggle in Eurobasket, and maybe it's the same in training camp. Like, are you just going to give it to Bilal because he always was your starter the last two years, realistically? He was your first draft pick. You drafted him way higher than you did George. He has potential. Or are you just going to say, hey, you know what? Keyshawn's the better player. We're going to go with him. He's better right now. And that was a lot of, you know, of that discussion was, if George is better right now, you can't just give it to Bilal because you've always given it to Bilal. All last year, Bilal started every game that he played in. And maybe George at some point should have surpassed him and didn't, because you were just like, you know, Bilal's our starter. Having the competition is something that I had stressed throughout the offseason. Wizards fans want, and it's nice to see. Words and actions obviously are different, right? But it's nice to see that Dawkins at least having that dialogue about, you know, we're going to have them earn these minutes, especially with a guy like Whitmore coming in, guy that wasn't drafted by this regime. Again, he's going to have to earn his way into the rotation as well, just as Keyshawn George will too. So I did like that quote from Dawkins in terms of that. He also said, this is from my friend Ben Strober, that Trey Johnson gained at least 4 pounds since the draft, which him, you know, hopefully, well, Riley's in the same boat, but that was a big knock on them is, you know, they need to get bigger and obviously stronger. They're both pretty skinny. And that happens out of college. A lot of these guys aren't built. Jason Tatum was a string bean at Duke, and he's huge now. So developing their bodies takes time. Steph Curry as well. You see those pictures this summer, he's ripped. Like, that takes years to kind of develop that playing body and that shape. And so it's nice to see that they're already working on that. Trey's already gained some weight. Dawkins said, quote, one thing we know about Trey is he has confidence, and we know he's going to put the time in the gym. And that was something that was paramount from the post-draft presser with Dawkins, and from, you know, seeing stuff that Trey Johnson had said pre-draft, post-draft, about just working, loving playing basketball. I brought Eric Henry from 247 Horns, who covered Trey Johnson at Texas, and they said they had to prevent Trey from going into the gym so many times because he kept getting himself injured. He had, I think it was maybe a calf or hamstring injury from just working out too much. So again, it seems like that isn't changing in the NBA. That's nice to see that he's already putting in the time to put on the weight and get better as well. So that was nice. And then Varun Shankar of the Washington Post tweeted out a quote from Dawkins on Keyshawn George. He said, quote, we feel very fortunate to have Keyshawn on the roster, end quote. Said George had as great of a summer as anybody. He's more lean, has more lean mass and body mass and growth in his shoulders. So it seems like in terms of that body composition, George maybe put on some weight as well, which is nice. Because he always had the lateral quickness, the length to compete defensively. But, you know, adding that base to be able to, you know, defend fours and fives if you want, skip back down in the post and be able to hold his own, defend without fouling, you know, obviously getting bigger, it certainly helps there. So those are kind of some quotes from Dawkins that stuck out. Now getting into some of the more important stuff, the injury stuff. He gave some updates on Coulibaly and Ansar. He said that Bilal is going to miss the start, or he's going to miss all of training camp, and then will probably return to games within the first week or 2 weeks of the season. And originally I was like, is that his ramp up process, or is that when he'll play? It seems like from the quotes that I saw circulating on Twitter that they expect Bilal to be back and ready to play. And I don't know if that'll be on a minutes restriction or what that will be, being that he will miss all of training camp in that conditioning portion of the offseason and that ramp up to the season. So maybe he'll take a little bit of time to get acclimated and get in game shape. But it seems like he'll be back within the first 1 to 2 weeks. Makes sense considering that was aligned with the timeline that was originally provided by the team. I would assume I would expect him back second week of the season. I mentioned on my pod a couple of days ago that I expected him back within the first couple weeks. So this does make sense. But Bilal will miss all of training camp, and they hope he's back within the first, you know, couple games of the season. And now Sar's return to action is a little bit different. The Wizards, or I guess Dawkins, said that the team expects Sar to miss at least the beginning of training camp, and hopefully they get him back by the end of training camp, which means he will be back before preseason. and maybe get those preseason games to ramp up and make sure that that calf injury is all situated beforehand. But he certainly seems like he's on pace to be ready by the start of the season. So that's nice. He also said that Corey Kispert had a thumb injury and that he's cleared. And then I think Johnson was held out of summer league the final couple games with a hamstring. Same with Riley and that thumb. They were both fully cleared as well. So they seem like they're all good to go for training camp. Also said that AJ Johnson was dealing with some bumps and bruises, but seems like he's pretty much cleared as well for training camp, which is good. Always like to be a clean slate on the injury front. Unfortunately, with Koulibaly and Sarr, they aren't fully healthy, but it seems like if anyone's going to miss any type of regular season action, it's Bilal, and it's, you know, 5 to 7 games max, which in the grand scheme of things isn't the end of the world. You just got to hope that he ramps up and is in game shape by a certain point so we can continue to help the team. It'll be interesting when Bilal returns, you know, what happens with the rotation, if he just immediately comes in to start or if he comes off the bench as he ramps up and then maybe he starts. I don't know what their plan is for Bilal, for the starters, but that's another storyline that I'll definitely be monitoring is, you know, what does that look like in terms of Koulibaly's return? You know, are the Wizards simply going to say, hey, you're back when you're fully healthy, we'll put you back in the starting lineup, or are they going to, you know, go ahead and make him earn it? You know, also another update, I mentioned the bumps and bruises for Johnson. Varun tweeted out that it's a leg bruise and that he may miss a little bit early on in training camp, but seems like it's not too serious of an injury. Should be back at some point in training camp and before the season. So just wanted to give an update on that. Just scrolling to see if there's any other major updates. Not really. You know, I like I mentioned, don't want to harp on it on Dawkins' presser too much, but it's pretty much what he has continued to preach. You know, they want to build a confident bunch that is connected and competitive and, you know, a team that wants to work. And that's the culture they want to establish. It seems like they have a lot of the personnel to do that. It's just kind of putting it together. So, again, if you had any type of expectations about playing or anything, still in the early phases, as Dawkins said. So, want to get my hopes up too much. Kind of on par with what I expected from the presser in general, but obviously nice to get some updates on a few injured players. And, you know, media day is 5 days from now. It's right around the corner. I'm sure, you know, I don't know if Keith speaks at media day. I do remember from my one time going 2 years ago, it's like every player. So all 15 guys, I mean, I guess 16 standard deals that they have, maybe all of them will be at the podium. I don't know if two-way guys are there too. So I don't know if they'll hear from, I would assume Watkins because he's a rookie, and then Tristan Vukcevic as well. So there's going to be a lot of players. They just come up to the podium for about, you know, 10-ish minutes, and the media just gets to sit there and fire away questions at them. So I think you'll get to learn a lot from media day. I won't be there to cover it. I have a media day for Penn State hockey here at school, so I will be there. But obviously, I'll stay tuned for updates, and I'll try to get a pod out that night or the following morning. To just kind of, like I'm doing now, recap some of the highlights and some of the things that I saw circulating Twitter. And I'm sure it'll be posted on their YouTube. They usually do that afterwards as well. So be on the lookout for that in terms of media day. Obviously, there'll be like pictures as well. That's like what media day is also for, is you'll see those circulating around. I'm sure the team will have content too. So that's on the slate. But that kind of brings me to another topic about media day, and that's the Pelicans held theirs on Tuesday, and Jordan Poole obviously is a new member of the Pelicans, was in that McCollum trade, no longer a Wizard, but he played with the team for 2 seasons, was the best player easily last season, and you could argue between him and Kuzma the year before as well, but certainly spent a good amount of time in Washington. It was all really positive. Everyone on the team liked him, didn't really hear too many gripes during his time here. Especially off the court as well, seemed like a lovely guy. And so he gets on the podium at Pelicans media day, and he's obviously asked about former teammate Kevon Looney, who's now his current teammate. They played for all those years, won a title together on the Golden State Warriors. Looney, or Poole was traded to the Pelicans. Looney signed with them afterward in free agency. And so now they're reunited, and Poole gets a question about what's it like to reunite with Looney. And Poole says, quote, I'm super excited. I haven't had a good screen in 2 years, end quote, and kind of chuckles. It seems like it's a backhanded comment. I don't even want to say seems. It is a backhanded comment, at, you know, directed at the Wizards, whether it's directed at the center specifically that weren't setting him good screens or the coaching staff that wasn't coaching the screens well enough. I'm not sure. But I posted it or I just quote tweeted it. And I just had interesting comments from former Wizards guard Jordan Poole. And a lot of the comments were most of them agreed with kind of, I didn't even give a take, honestly. I mean, like, I was just basically saying it's very interesting for him to come out here and kind of say that it's clearly a backhanded comment. And I had some people saying, no, it's not. Like, it's just him complimenting Looney and the fact that he hasn't had a screen like Looney's in years. It's not. The last 2 years is very specific, and I know that's the amount of time he hasn't played with Looney, but it's obviously the 2 years he spent in Washington. It's clear that Poole is saying he hasn't had a good screen in 2 years during his time in D.C., and it's not like the Wizards have had, you know, Marcin Gortats, who are expert screeners, or Kevon Looney's. They had, you know, Alex Saar, who was a rookie, trying to figure out how to best set screens. You know, you had Poole, who played with Gafford for half a season in his first stint, first year with the Wizards. And Gafford's a pretty good screen setter. Jonas Valanciunas half a season as well. He's a pretty solid screen setter as well. So you have those guys that I think probably did set Jordan some pretty good screens. But you have a rookie in Saar, you have Rashawn Holmes, Marvin Bagley, Tristan Vukcevic that aren't really known for being terrific screen setters as bigs. So again, like it's not like I can really say that Poole is wrong. I'm sure he didn't have the best of screens during his time in the DC. It's just like it was an unnecessary comment. You know, I think he could have praised Kevon Looney without shading the Wizards. I feel like it was pretty unnecessary. But that's the route he decided to go in. Some people didn't like the comments because it was a pretty clear diss at Washington and their bigs. But again, that was kind of his comments. I just kind of want to talk about it. I think it was unnecessary. I don't think it's the end of the world. Like I doubt if I'm Saar, I really take too much offense to that, or if I'm Holmes or Bagley, I'm really like upset. They probably don't care. But it was kind of backhanded. I think it was a little unnecessary. But that's what he decided to say. So we'll see. I'm sure I don't know if he'll get a tribute video when he comes back to DC. I know like Dawkins didn't do it for Denny. I don't know if Rui got one. I'm not sure. But I do know that Poole was traded for by Dawkins and he was here for the first 2 years of Dawkins and Winger. So like maybe they give him a tribute. I don't know. That's a whole nother discussion. I think that's January. That the Pelicans come to DC, but some interesting comments from Poole there. And then that leads me to the final part of this pod, and that's the City Edition uniforms. Obviously, if you didn't see it, on Monday, the Wizards released their new, you know, City Edition uniforms. They are black, gold, and white, returned to the colors of the mid to late early 2000s, where, you know, Gilbert and I think they wore them from 06 to 09, you know, Gilbert, Anton, Karan. That was kind of the later years of that core. But they obviously donned that look a while. And they wore like a mismatch. It was like black shorts and like a gold jersey with stars. A lot of fans had a specific look clearly that they wanted. Because I posted a picture of the jerseys when they were released. And I would say 80%, 85% did not like them at all. I think most of the people didn't like the stripe that was across the chest, or too many stripes. They thought it should be a solid gold look. They wanted the stars somehow more involved as well. So I think a lot of people like the color scheme, the colorway of the jersey and the uniform, but not necessarily the overall look that they went with in terms of the jersey design. But I then tweeted out a picture of the court, and like when I first saw the court, I was like, this is pretty cool. I don't know if everyone's going to like it that much. It's the same color scheme. But I mean, people loved it. The tweet blew up. It has a couple thousand likes and everything was just like, this is the coolest court I've ever seen. And I think it's really cool. I think when you wear throwback jerseys, it's nice to have kind of a throwback court. The Timberwolves are doing it really well. They brought back their trees, black jerseys. And the court is literally just their old court, old logo in the middle, pretty, pretty generic, but gets the job done. It's the nostalgia factor that every fan loves, and people are thrilled with what Minnesota did. And so I think the Wizards court, a lot of people like it. So that was cool. It's a little DMV logo in the center. It's a kind of gold, black, white, obviously themed court, a kind of darker color scheme, but I kind of like how that plays off the jerseys as well. And just a different look. I think people are tired of the red, white, and blue. They're tired of the Wizards haven't had new jerseys in since 2014. Honestly, probably 2012, because I don't think Brad ever wore the old blue jersey. So I think 2012, it's been 13 years really that the Wizards haven't had too much of a change in terms of their jersey. It's been pretty minor changes in their home reds or away whites or whatever they decide to wear. I've had a lot of comments over the years about the Wizards need a new look. They need a fresh start with this new team, this new rebuild. They need a makeover, and maybe they decide to do that once the team starts winning. In a new era of Wizards basketball, it's also a new era of uniforms. I don't know, but I think it is necessary. I think it's kind of a tired look, and the gold and black and white, that's a nice little switch up entering this season. They're going to wear the jerseys 29 times. The first is going to be November 16th, I believe, against the Brooklyn Nets. It's a home game. And so I think 19 of them are home games. So you'll see that floor 19 times, 10 are on the road. But that's a lot. Like, that's 29 games. It's over a quarter of their games that they're going to be wearing these jerseys. And I like the jerseys. I might be in the minority. I'm not the biggest, like, this jersey sucks guy. I don't, unless you're wearing, like, I never liked like those Hickory Pacers uniforms with like the red jersey and the gold pants. I didn't like that. There's been uniforms I haven't liked in the past. Like last year's Boundary Stones jerseys for the Wizards, I thought those were pretty ugly, pretty boring and basic. Versus these, I think these are a lot cooler. They're clean. They're simple, but I like the colorway. So I might be in the minority, but I actually like them. I really like the court. And so they'll wear them 29 times. That'll be exciting. The photo shoot was pretty cool as well. If you've seen all the pictures that they posted on Twitter, but that's kind of the City Edition uniform. And that's the last thing I'm going to talk about. A little bit of a shorter pod, but I wanted to get on Poole's comments and the jerseys. And then also with Dawkins presser today, wanted to kind of give some updates on injuries and also, talk about some of the competitiveness, that he was kind of preaching. And also, the rebuilding phase as a whole. So hope this episode kind of taught you a little bit about what Dawkins' philosophy is going into the season and kind of recapped it instead of having to, sift through tweets. You can just kind of listen to 23 minutes of a recap. So that's going to do it for this episode. I'll be back Monday night or Tuesday morning with a recap of Media Day. And that's the next time you will see me. So again, thank you guys so much for your support. Thanks for listening. We just hit 50,000 all-time downloads in terms of listeners, which is really cool. So again, wouldn't be possible without a lot of you guys and the support you show. So thanks for that. But that's going to do it. I'll see you guys Monday night or Tuesday morning after Media Day. Thanks, guys. Go Wiz.